Luke chapter 3 verse 8. Seven. Then he said to John, he said to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy or necessary for repentance, and begin not to say within yourselves, We have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now that's a pretty damning verse. We're going to spend a little bit more time on repentance. In the Greek, it says bring forth fruit worthy of, there's a definite article, so it says the repentance. Now when it says the repentance, it calls forth the uniqueness of repentance. And then he goes on to describe what repentance is. But I want us to look at some verses. Let's go to Matthew 16. Before we do that, let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This is a critical verse. Start in verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22. Flee also youthful.
Where in Matthew?
No, I just said before we do that, we're going to 2 Timothy.
And then what?
We'll go to Matthew in a minute.
Okay, and reference in 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Now again, remember that lust isn't a word that has anything to do with sex. It includes it. But lust is a simple idea. It's wanting the condition you're in to be different than it is, wanting the situation or whatever, wanting anything more than you have. So it's the idea, lust is that you want the either you or the situation or somebody else to change. And it's the fruit of the fall. It's the fruit of self-realization. And so you flee. Remember we studied flee for a long time, but you disown it. You see its stupidity. You flee youthful lusts. And they're only talking about youthful here, not because what we think is youthful, like horny teenagers. It's youthful from a spiritual standpoint, meaning that you're still concerned with self in any dimension. That's youthful in spirit. Okay? You can be 100 years old and still be concerned with yourself, and from God's standpoint, it's youthful. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, or agape, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strife. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Now that's, so it's the idea here is you are said to be double-minded or oppose yourself if you still give any importance to what your mind or emotions say. You understand? You're opposing your true self. Your true self, your only self, is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Anything, therefore, that has to do with you, when you make you the subject of the sentence, then you're opposing yourself. You understand that? And to oppose oneself is just idiotic. There's no excuse for it if you've heard the mystery. Because the moment self is in the picture for any reason, either wanting praise or feeling sorry for yourself or feeling a victim, on and on, then you are opposing yourself. So it says, in meekness, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. Okay? So repentance is disowning yourself. Now let's look at another way of that Christ talked about this. Go to Matthew 16. Now, does anybody, I just hate it when everybody sits there like a bump in a log. All I want you to do is, if there's something that comes up, you say it. Okay? And I don't want you to make things up. Just be, bubble forth whatever's there. All right?
All right.
I can't believe, I've probably said this for the third time, but I wish Gary were here, because at least he does that. Or at least when I smell the grease burning, I call him on it. Now, I can smell grease burning also, but never mind. Then Jesus, in verse 24. Well, let's go up. We need to look at it a little bit. This is a biggie. This is when he said, "Who do men say I am?" And they said, some say Elijah, some say the prophet, some say blah, blah. But then Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art Messiah." He knew they were in the age of the Messianic age. And so he was all, and Peter got commended for it, and he said, "Based, you know, upon this rock, I will build my church." The rock wasn't Peter, that's what people say, but the rock was that confession. But now, then in verse 20, "Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ." Now, why did he do that?
I don't know.
Anybody have any thoughts? Well, think about it. I'll tell you later. In verse 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how they must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." And he just commended Peter for blah, blah, you know, all that stuff. But then he says in verse 23, "He turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." You could take that statement and apply it to any aspect of what you believe or think. You savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. "Then said Jesus unto disciples, If any man wills to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Now, it doesn't mean that you're giving up your life for Jesus, for his sake. It means that you die, he lives. There's not two of you anymore. Now, this thing is said over and over in the New Testament. Whosoever will, where am I? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. Now, I've heard so many things about what people say about that. Well, you shouldn't do drugs because you should deny yourself. Or you shouldn't smoke a pipe because you should deny yourself. Or you shouldn't get fat because you should deny yourself. That's not what it means. Deny is the word aparneomai. And it means, as we've said so often, aparneomai. Aparneomai. And it means to disown oneself, to forget oneself, to lose the capacity to even see yourself. Deny yourself. And it's the way you do that is by picking up the cross. You pick up the cross. The cross isn't your mother-in-law. The cross isn't your pain. The cross isn't, I heard this all, even before I was a believer. Oh, my cross to bear is I have to be associated with that person. Or my cross to bear is my mother-in-law. Or my cross to bear is I have cancer. Or my cross to bear is I have pain. It means none of those things. You bear the cross because it is the definition of your death. And from that point forward, you cannot suffer except be a partaker of his sufferings. He is suffering. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's look at another one. Luke 9:23. I think he says the same thing here, but I'm just double checking. Yeah, he does. Never mind. It says the same thing in Luke 9:23 and Mark 8:34 and other places. But let's look at another place where he says deny. Go to Matthew 10. Now, all of you should know this, but I'm saying this for the benefit of the people that are listening on whatever you call us, beast. Well, let's look at it. Start in verse 24. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, or Satan, how much more shall they call them of his household? Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak you in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Now what does it mean to tell us in darkness, that speak in light? Anybody? Well, no, let's go look at another angle. On Wednesday nights, we're studying the Zodiac and its original meaning of the revelation of Christ.
I got it. Basically, if you're in a state of darkness or light, everything is constant. What you feel and what you think, what you say, what you do, nothing.
All right, but listen. We're studying this second decan of Aquarius. And it's Pegasus, the horse. But the word horse, the word Pegasus is a word that means it's Pega and Sus. And it means the horse of the rushing waters, or the and this got perverted in Greek mythology. And so again, the horse's purpose is to reveal to us that he's the one that brings us the mystery. It's not anybody else. And he's the one that's anyway. In Greek mythology, he's called the horse of the Pyrrhean Springs. Anybody ever heard of the Pyrrhean Spring?
Well, you know.
Well, you have. But I'm talking, the Pyrrhean Spring was at the base of Mount Olympus and was a source of inspiration for the arts or science or poetry. And it's where the nine muses drank to gain inspiration, and they could then be the muse for somebody. We've talked about it. And Alexander Pope wrote this massive poem about a jillion lines long, and one part of it is about this. Anyway, you've heard this probably. Drink deep or taste not the Pyrrhean spring. And it goes on to talk about the initial drinking of something. You think you're all excited and you know what it's about. But in truth, you can't. The more you know, the more the misery. And so the idea of it is, don't be deceived by the excitement of learning a new concept or deal. But drink deep. In other words, wait until that has been mastered and worked out in you, that the word has been made flesh, before you speak about it. And that's what Paul said in Romans 15. I am determined to speak of nothing until it has been wrought in me by Christ Jesus. So not just to repeat words that someone else has said, or even the words of the Bible. The power is when that word, that experience has been made flesh, and that's what it means that he's telling us in darkness, that speak you in light. Amen?
Yeah.
So don't just mouth words. It used to drive me crazy around here. It's because, I don't know, I guess it still does if I hear it, but I may not hear it.
People quote verses?
No, people quote me. Which, that means you just remembered something, but it hasn't been made flesh. It hasn't been made comparable to your own experience. Amen? You understand that? All right. We're still not where we're going. Where did I just stop?
That speak you in darkness, speak you in light.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what you hear in the air, that preach you upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill this body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And that's not Satan, it's God. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the earth without your Father? The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. You are more value than many sparrows. Now now we're getting to the word we're studying, the other word for deny. Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Now, what I've heard is people use that word, or that scripture, to talk to somebody that doesn't believe, and then they say that God's going to deny that person, or he's going to deny him before the Father. That's not what it means. The word deny here is arneomai, and it's somewhat from the same word, but it's the action of a dam. You don't deny Christ by saying he doesn't exist. You deny him before men by saying you exist. Get a little bit? And you say you exist in a thousand ways. You say you exist to yourself mostly because you muse on your own talents or on your own goodness or even on your own evilness. I mean, any musing on yourself, any musing which makes you separate from God and separate from Christ is denying him. Amen? So anyway, the meaning of repentance is disowning self totally. And the fruit of disowning self is that you deny him isn't saying you exist. I mean, he doesn't exist. To deny him is to say you exist. All right, everybody got that? Back to Luke. Does anybody believe this? Bible study Wednesday night. Have you met Sharon, a friend of? She's great. She's better than Gary.
Over here.
And she went on this rant. I explained. I explained the meaning of eternity versus anyway, and what the Trinity was. She understood it instantly. Then she went in this rant. Why isn't anybody else saying this? And I said, well, I'm sure somebody else is saying it, but you haven't heard it. Anyway. Bring forth fruit worthy of repentance and begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say unto you, God is able to raise up these stones. God is able to, of these stones, raise up children to Abraham. The word begin is interesting.
What scripture is that?
That's chapter 3, verse 8. The word begin is interesting because it means he anticipated their internal response. The Jews, as we've talked about many times, the Jews had this fantasy, just like Americans do, the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God, and they believed in free will and all this other horse manure. I almost said it. But their main fantasy was greater than most people's, because their fantasy was, as they were children of Abraham, therefore children of God, and of the promise, because they were genetically born Jews. And that's what the baptism of repentance just destroyed. He said, don't take any, and the same thing is true today. You go to any Baptist church, it's once saved, always saved. Once you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, then it's all... Well, that's just as much a fantasy as the Jews had. God is still able to raise up from stones children unto Abraham. What does that mean? Why? Why? What is all this mystery? What is the opposite of that? The Jews were a parable.
Sense of entitlement.
Now, there's been a bunch of people leave here because I made fun of them saying, once saved, always saved. The purpose of time and space is the same as it was in the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were innocent. And their purpose was to transform that innocence into holiness by antagonism. That's the same purpose today. Once you accept him, if that's what your verbiage is, then everything in the universe, including especially the Holy Spirit, will be pushing you by antagonism to find out if there's anything in the world that will cause you to leave my promise. Or as we say here, will cause you to leave the mercy seat. And that's how you perfect the good and the perfect and the eternal will of God, which is Jesus Christ. And he has to be, just as he was perfected, he has to be perfected in the bride. And you are part of the bride. So all the things, is there anything in the universe that will make you leave faith? And they're legion. And the idea of it is then to repent of all of that so that his life is the only life that you are aware of within you. And that's really what the fruit of repentance is. Okay? All right. That we'll continue that one when the reprobates get back from their trip. Take a big guy.